Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Penny C. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, March 27th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. The reference numbers for the past two meetings, yesterday, Tuesday, March 26th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share code is 12704-12704. And the share code for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12706. That's Wednesday, March 27th, 7 a.m. meeting, 12706. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and from compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose is this. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I am now going to ask Martha S. to read the 12 steps for us. Martha?
Good morning. This is Martha S., recovered compulsive overeater in upstate New York. The 12 steps of OA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Martha S. And for the 12 traditions, we're going to have Chrissy Jane K. read those for us. Chrissy Jane, we can't hear you.
Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise whose problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and other public media of communication like Facebook and YouTube. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Chrissy Jane Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to be unmuted, and then when you're finished, press star 1 again to mute. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 15 in Bill's story, with the second paragraph that begins with, "We commence to make many fast friends." And I'm going to ask Elaine B. to please read that and then share with us.
Thank you very much, Penny, for your service and everybody on the line. This is Elaine B., recovered in Massachusetts. We commence to make many fast friends, and a fellowship has grown up among us, of which it is a wonderful thing to feel a part. The joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulty. I have seen hundreds of families set their feet in the path that really goes somewhere. Have seen the most impossible domestic situations righted, feuds and bitterness of all sorts wiped out. I've seen men come out of asylums and resume a vital place in the lives of their families and communities. Business and professional men have regained their standing. There is scarcely any form of trouble and misery which has not been overcome among us. In one Western city and its environs, there are 1,000 of us in our families. We meet frequently so that newcomers may find the fellowship they seek. At these informal gatherings, one may often see from 50 to 200 persons. We are growing in numbers and power. And the little asterisk, in 2006, AA is composed of over 106,000 groups. And I am so grateful that AA has helped OA come into existence, which helped this meeting come into existence, where I have made many fast friends. Yes, I qualified. I qualified to be in the club. The only qualification is that you have a desire to stop eating compulsively. After carrying 100 extra pounds on my body for years, I did not know how to manage my life. I did not know how to manage my relationships, but boy, did I know how to manage Ben and Jerry. They were always sweet and never said no. But I don't need that anymore because I have a true fellowship. Ben and Jerry couldn't do anything for me except for take the pain away for about 5 minutes and then 1 minute and then 15 seconds before I'd start beating myself up again because it wasn't the solution to my problem. But here, within these rooms, I found the design for living, and I found the people that are working it. And I found, as a newcomer, I found hope. I remember hearing, we used to get our ease and comfort from food. Now we get our ease and comfort from God. And that's what I needed, a higher power, a power greater than myself, and people who understood this journey. If I had read this book alone, you know, and I didn't have the people that I could work with to enjoy their friendship. This is a disease of isolation for me. I don't know if I could have made it, but the joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulty. When pressure comes up and difficulty comes up, I don't need to go hunting for Ben and Jerry. I have a host of friends. I have such an incredible community. You know, they have 1,000 in that Western city at that time. We probably have 1,000 people on the line today between our various three meetings, and certainly access to thousands of phone numbers of people that we can talk to learn how to put the food into boundaries that make it safe for me to live and ways to work these steps. And I really want to point out, you know, I've seen so many kinds of troubles get resolved because of the principles and practice of this program. And, you know, especially with newcomers, I love on page 124, it talks about cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past, my eating history, is the greatest possession I have, the key to life and happiness for others. And then the personal experiences that I had that God got me through in this program, that I continue to make it through in this program. You know, none of us are really unique as much as we think that we are. And there are people here on the lines that can help us with our food, that can help us get in touch with a higher power, that can help us learn and work these steps, and that can help us through the highs and lows and the dark spots of life. And I'm so grateful to be part of it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine B. Thank you very much. And now I'm going to open it up for people who would like to share. Please say your name once. I do my very best to hear everyone.
Roz G.
Bonnie M.
Luann
M.
Leslie W.
Roanne M.
Last initial was M.
Roanne M.
Roanne M.
Bonnie M.
Bonnie M.
Des M.
And Des M. That's it for now, okay, please? All the M's. All right. So here's the lineup. Roz G., Roanne M., Luann, and she'll, please give me her last initial when you share, Leslie W., Bonnie M., and Des M. Roz G., would you get us started again?
Surely will. Good morning, and thank you for the meeting. Thanks, everybody, for their service and for the lead share. And I was thinking when I read, we commenced to make many fast friends. I used to commence to make many fast foods. And now I have fast friends. And, you know, it's really cool. The fast friends things is that when we go to a meeting anywhere, at least for me, when I go to a meeting anywhere, I can automatically identify with people in the rooms, and that which makes them a fast friend. And it's usually not something that's not deep. I'm thinking of the opposite of not deep. That's not profound. It's not skin level. It's dermis. And I love the fact that when I go to conventions or workshops or retreats, And, you know, I don't know anybody. I automatically find somebody and we can laugh together and have lunch or, you know, just sit and talk, just fellowship and automatically be able to talk about what's going on with us. And it's real. I spent a lot of lonely nights, a lot of lonely days in my eating days, a lot of isolation. And today my life is so busy that sometimes I have to ask God to help me find space to be alone and to calm down and to, you know, just rest, because I have sponsees to work with, meetings to attend face-to-face. Then I have my work, and I volunteer to do specific, you know, different things at work so that I can be of service to the kids that I work with and make sure that I help my mother. She's aging and she's a widow now. And, you know, the principles that I practice have taught me that I can bring joy, I can bring a happy face, I can bring positivity to any situation that I go to. And I'll just end with saying, you know, last Sunday I was singing in the church choir and there was a little rift between two of the women, and I love gossip and all that kind of stuff. And so it was like I did not get involved. I simply minded my own business, saying my part, did what I was supposed to do. And I believe that that is one of the principles that the Big Book and that the steps have taught me, to just, you know, be myself, be a friendly, take the next right action, and try to be an example of someone who's living a spiritual life. And thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Raz G. And next is Rowan M., and she'll be followed by Luann. Rowan? Rowan M.? Can't hear you if you're there.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. I thought I was unmuted. My name is Rowan M., and I'm calling from New York City. I'm definitely a food addict. I'm grateful to be on the line. This paragraph says a lot of beautiful things. It's a lot of promises. It's a lot of hope for those of us who have had so much pain and suffering in our lives, where they're talking about friendship and fellowship, the joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulty. Many times I feel like I will not be able to live in this world if I'm having a rough go at it. Like, I feel self-pity, I feel shame, I feel guilt. I don't have a joy of living. But with this program, they're telling us that we will, no matter what, we will still be able to be happy and be in life. They're telling us about families that change their situation, feuds and bitterness that are righted. I mean, these are about men who were in asylums and now they're with their communities and their families and they're able to be in life again. This paragraph is telling us that there's hope for us, that no matter how bad our life has gotten, there is hope and things can change. I just need to say I'm really struggling right now, and I am feeling shame. I am feeling guilt. I don't want to talk about it because I feel like in my head I should get this by now. I've been in the program long enough. Why don't I have this? Why don't I have recovery? And I see all these other people able to do it and I'm not. And so I love the first share, how they said, you know, we tell ourselves that we're unique. And that's what my disease tells me. My disease tells me that I'm worse than everyone else, like that I won't be able to get this and other people will. And there's nothing I want more than recovery. And then there's my disease wants nothing more than to hurt me and make me suffer and self-sabotage and self-harm. And unfortunately, food is not my only addiction. I just wanted to be honest about that because I think that it's hard for me to share honestly about where I'm at. And this paragraph really talks about the hope that we can change our life. And, you know, in the promises, they say no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we can see how our experience can benefit others. And I pray that someday that I will feel those promises. I will be completely surrendered. And I would love outreach. I would love to connect. My disease isolates me 100%. And I feel the pain and misery of this illness. And I just wanted to claim my seat. My name is Roanne M. in New York, and I am grateful to be on the line. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Roanne M. And now Luann, and she'll be followed by Leslie W. Good morning, Luann.
I think that was Rowena.
I wrote down Luann. Okay, who is this, please?
Rowena K.
Go ahead. How do you just tell me how you spell your name, though? That would be good.
Okay, it's Rowena.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Rowena K. Recovering compulsive overeater, and I find this paragraph. I'm surprised at how much inspiration it's given me. Well, maybe not necessarily inspiration, but when I read it, it's true that I have made fast friends in OA. I only have to ring a newcomer, and there's just so many people that I'm now connected with thanks to this illness. And it is when I'm actually working the program and I'm part of it, I do feel the joy of living, and because it sets your feet on a path that really goes somewhere. And as long as I'm following the path, I really do feel like I'm going somewhere with it. And the other thing as well is when I read about the situations that our fellowship has pulled people out of, the feuds, bitterness, men coming out of asylums, and then I compare, this to my problems, which in comparison seem quite small, and I just feel like, who am I not to recover? I think that's about all I want to share. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Rowena. And now Leslie W., and you'll be followed by Bonnie M. Leslie W. Star one, please.
I unmuted myself but forgot to hit my mute button on my phone. Technology. Okay. I'm Leslie W. in Tennessee. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And what I wanted to share about this morning was we commenced to make many fast friends, and a fellowship has grown up among us, of which it is a wonderful thing to feel a part. I differ in some ways. Like, I heard some people share this morning about how they didn't have any friends when they first came into program. And, that was not true for me. I did have lots of friends. The problem was I wasn't authentic in my friendships. People had no idea. I mean, I'm sure my friends, people around me saw me getting bigger and bigger. But, I never talked about what I was doing with food. I never talked about going to the kitchen at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever, all hours of the night to eat so I could go back to sleep. I never talked about with them the fact that I was going through a couple of jars of peanut butter in 1 week. I never talked about those brownies that they brought over to me after my baby was born were all eaten by me. Those are the things that I never talked about. And I guess what OA has taught me in these rooms and on this phone and is that they taught me to be authentic. The people in this program have taught me to be my authentic self. They've taught me to be honest. And when they call, my default is my perky, Southern trained self to say, I'm fine. How are you? What's going on with you? And they're like, are you really fine? What's happening right now? Why don't you stop for a second and tell me what's going on? I never had anybody to do that, to say those kinds of things to me before. And, you know, one person actually asked me what I was working on with God today, and I thought, what am I working on with God? What kind of question is that? I mean, you know, I never really understood how to say what was on my mind and to be a part of something. You know, in any kind of situation that I was in, I was always trying to look for a leg up, right? Because I'm so insecure that I gotta be looking for a way to feel better than. I gotta be looking for a way to feel like I'm the head honcho and not a part of. OA has not only taught me to be authentic, but it's taught me how to be a part of something and not be the best, not be the worst, but just be on even ground with people, with other human beings. And that's translated into every part of my life today. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Penny.
Thank you, Leslie W. And next we have Bonnie M., then Des M., and then we'll be looking for more people who want to share. So Bonnie M., it's your turn.
Hi, I'm Bonnie M. I am in Anthem, Arizona, and I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. I just wanted to tell a little story that happened that just, to me, expresses the ultimate of the friendships that I have had in this program. And this story goes back to the late 90s when I was getting a divorce and I moved from California to Las Vegas. And I kind of said to myself, this is either going to be the most stupid move I ever made or I'm going to get the most recovery there. And what turned out was it was probably the greatest recovery that I got there. But once I got there and I bought a house there, and the people that had owned that house before me were in the process of a divorce, and I only wanted love in that house. I was really going through the pits of my life, and all I wanted was to have love in that house. And so the people, and I started going to meetings, and both the women and the men in the meetings, we took a day, I invited them to lunch, and we wrote a little ceremony, and we went through each room and did a little deal on love in each room, asking God to bring love to each room. And it was an absolutely beautiful day. And here it is, 2019, and I still have contacts with most of those people. And I no longer live in Las Vegas. I live in Arizona. So is this, you know, are these friendships powerful? You bet they are. And the turning point for me in the program really happened when I realized, like every day I pray for the knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out. But when I struggle, I'm not accepting the gift. And when I realize that the gift is being offered to me when I pray for it, I need to accept it. And that accepting, a lot of times, accepting the good is the hardest part. And you know, basically believing that I deserve it because I am one of God's kids. And it's there. I just need to accept it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Bonnie. Yeah, I appreciate your share. Now, Des M., it's your turn.
Hi, this is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service and for leading the meeting. This is just an amazing paragraph. The line that really got me was the joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulty. And like sometimes, you know, I read the story and I'm in the meeting and And it's good, and I hear good stuff, but this was just really spoke to me. I've gotten the opportunity to, you know, from working these steps, to just be more a part of life and go in a different venture. And I just checked out a grad school, and I'm in the application process, and it's, you know, something that really fulfills my soul and I think would be helpful to the community at large. And in essence, it's very scary because there's papers to write and things to do. And so getting this one-liner this morning, you know, was just such a God shot for me. And I've heard so many good things this morning. I've been writing things down, you know, and just to have this in my life, like, I'm just so grateful. And what popped into my head when the first person was sharing was, just like, I didn't ever get ease and comfort when I was in the food from eating like one of my trigger foods in the morning. You know, like, I had to be on a steady filter of food all day. And I really get down on myself sometimes. My ego likes to play into, oh, you had to do like 2/10 steps today or like 2 this week or whatever. Like, why can't you just do it on your own? Like, that's, you know, where I am in learning to trust my higher power. And so this morning I was like, oh, it makes sense. If I ate, you know, 15 times a day, then I need to like really go to God 15 times a day. Not just, I'm in the habit of praying and I see my higher power, but really just be like, God, like, you know, or higher, what, anything greater than me, because the solution doesn't lie with me. So anything outside of myself, getting tapped into that and just looking, you know, a lot of times for me, it's in nature and just being, and just being with God. And I get to do that many, many times a day. I know it's a one day at a time thing that I'm recovered, like 100% I get that, but I don't know, for me today, I just felt that it was an aha that when I'm in the midst of these application processes and doing all the other things that I get to do today because I'm recovered, that I can take the time, you know, to just be, express my gratitude to God or ask for help or just get outside of myself, call a newcomer, and just keep doing that, because my spiritual awakening isn't one that's sparkly all the time. I'll wrap up with this. My spiritual awakening is that I, just like the line says, I get to walk through life under pressure recovered. So thank you so much, and with that I pass.
Oh, bitch.
Thank you, Des M. And somebody's not unmuted unless... if you want to share just a second before I take names, I want to remind people who may have come in a little bit after the meeting began that we are in Bill's story, page 15, the second paragraph, which starts with, we commence to make many fast friends. And we're reading, we did read, and we're sharing on just that one paragraph. So I'm ready to take more names for people who would like to share.
Pia Ellie R.
Julie E.B.
Go.
Yes, in Florida.
Hold on now. All I have is Julie and Pia and Julie.
Kaylee
R. Mags C.
Bruce E.
Robin, hold a minute. E. Who's E.C. or who just said her name?
Mags C.
Yeah. All right, I have E.S. E. Julie E.B., Kaylee, and Bruce. One more.
Debbie C.
Debbie?
Marissa L.
Okay, Debbie and Marissa. And we'll see if we have time for all of you. So let's try. So let's start with Pia S. Good morning, Pia.
Good morning. Sorry. Good morning. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Yeah, great. This is Pia, recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And I just wanted to share it this morning because, this reminds me of when I came to this country. And I am, because I'm not an American. And it was very hard to make friends with Americans because... Americans is a lot on, you know, on the surface. You're very friendly, and I think you're some of the most friendly, you know, nations that you can find. When you meet Americans, they're always very open, but it didn't run very deep, I found. But when I came to OA, I just learned to know people and Americans on a whole different level. I was just blown away by the connections that I've got. And I remember when I first heard about Vision, I was only listening to the recordings, and I felt like I was a little bit on the outside. But when I started calling in, someone just urged me to start calling in, to be a part of the meeting, to call in live. I started to feel a part, and I was added to a special group of moms. That's been just an amazing experience, being a mom here in the U.S., not having any, like, knowing any other moms. It was just so good to be a part of that. And it's just knowing that I can pick up the phone if there's something that I'm struggling with. Of course, I have this wonderful connection with my higher power, but it's just wonderful to be a part of this. And I am always open to calls, because I know how hard it is to make that call sometimes, because it's hard to get out of isolation. That is my disease. And I've been on a cruise for a few days, and I'm so happy that I don't have to be on a cruise all the time, because it's very hard to keep connecting with people. So I'm so happy that I have the phone that I can use now, and internet. So yeah, just wanted to share that, and thank you so much for your service. I'll pass.
Thank you, Pia S. And now Meg C, and then BEB.
Hi, this is Mag C, and I'm so thankful to hear all of that today. I love the fast friends and a fellowship, which is a wonderful thing to feel a part of, this joy of living we really have under pressure and difficulty. And it just reminds me of the rooms full of women that I trust and still trust. I mean, I trusted and I still trust with, like, my most, you know, disgusting parts of myself that I still just cringe when I think of my behaviors as a bulimic and an anorexic and now a compulsive overeater. There are days that I want to be super skinny, you know, and have that kind of control. And then there are days that I want to be, you know, just encased in layers for, like, protection against the outside world. And, you know, we'll need acceptance, right? I mean, I needed, when I came into this program, I needed the most open-minded acceptance from others, because I had never trusted anybody with these kinds of things about myself that I felt would just destroy me if someone took them lightly or took them, you know, I don't know. It was terrifying. And then when I found that people actually had these other behaviors, or I found, you know, that people felt the same way about themselves as I did, I mean, things change with time and with these people's help. I mean, I found clarity and self-worth, and my self-worth does not come from my appearance or my weight, you know, because it's like I've been there before program, and it was awful. It was awful. And then when I get into program and I have a group of people that I can talk to that actually understand, it makes all the difference in the world. And that clarity is worth everything. Anyway, that's all I've got. Thanks so much. It's Mag C in Denver.
Mag C. And let's have Julie E. B. now, followed by Kaylee.
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered, usually in Colorado, today in Chicago. And I'm just so grateful to be here today. This paragraph, all these promises have come true for me. We have begun, commenced to make fast friends. Fellowship has grown up among us. I just always felt so isolated. I always felt so insecure. From 12 years old on, I just thought everyone was watching me, and I was just never good enough. And once I found that spiritual connection, that power greater than myself that I believed in my brain, but I just wouldn't let that higher power change the way I talked to myself, and that critical voice was always telling me I wasn't enough. So then I could never connect with people with who I am and what I'm like. And it's kind of humorous that I'm here because it says the joy of living we really have even under pressure and difficulty. And I had this thought yesterday. I was 8 or 9 years old. Went back to visit my grandparents, and I was walking down the streets of Chicago, and I thought, all these adults are so grumpy. They're so unhappy. And I would just smile at them to make them smile. And yesterday, as I was talking to shopkeepers and people we met on the street, and I've discovered, you know, through this program, someone said, you know, it's not that we become a different person. It's we become the person we were always meant to be, that the disease covered and resentments and fears, and that life happened. The trials of life happened. And when I was 300 pounds and bedbound and screaming and lost in the food and checked out of all my relationships, there was no joy in living. There was only pressure and difficulty. So we gather here to meet today for the newcomer. And the person who said that, you know, going back to that person now, I could have that joy of living in those conversations and just being me. And me can be really awkward. I'm in a weird profession. And so I brought into some conversations some really odd things yesterday. And my daughter and I just had to laugh because, you know, it's not stuff that other people talk about, but just to have that laugh, that fellowship with her. And I don't do it all right. And I got bent out of shape when I couldn't go on this certain tour that I thought I should be able to go on. And it's like, pause when you're irritated, doubtful, remind yourself you're not running the show. I'm not in charge of all that stuff. And God had provided, and what we did was just what needed to be done. So this has all happened to me. So if you want to hear about these promises, if you're a newcomer that doesn't believe this can ever happen for you, I go back to a huge meeting tomorrow at my work. I wouldn't have slept for a week before. And now I know where I am with my boss. And one of the things my boss says is, you know what your weaknesses are and you work on them. And that is the fourth step. And that is what has restored my business reputation. God has done that a little bit at a time. Thanks for letting me share. These promises do come true. And the loneliness does ease. So please just keep reaching out. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. And now Kaylee, and please give me the initial of your last name.
Sure. Hi, this is Kaylee R.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Kaylee R., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. I'm so grateful to be on the lines this morning. I really like this reading. We commenced to make many fast friends, and fellowships has grown up among us. That's so huge for me. I could also relate to the person who shared and said they had friends, you know, before they joined program. I had tons of friends, but not one of those friends knows who I truly am. I'm so good at faking and pretending to be the person that they'll like or that they'll want to be because I'm a people pleaser. And I found that in this program, when I go to the conventions or when I go to a meeting, I can walk up to anybody and just start talking to them, and I can be 100% honest about my deepest, darkest secrets because you guys all understand and you're all just as vulnerable as I'm willing to be. It's such a safe place for all of us. And I hope, well, that's the way I feel. And I hope that others feel that way too, because I know that I can go anywhere with a group of fellows and know that the things that I share, you know, we have anonymity and it's not going to get shared other places, but I know that you guys can relate and you're not judging me. I don't know when I tell my friends who are not in a program about the weird things that I did with food or the crazy thinking I have about my boyfriend or whatever it may be, even if it's unprogram related, I can tell you guys these crazy thoughts that I have and I'm not judged. But I don't know that that happens with my other friends. The other thing that really spoke to me was there's scarcely any form of trouble and misery which has not been overcome among us. A week after I came in the program 3.5 years ago, my boyfriend died. And a few days after that, the people I was reaching out to, right, I had only been in program for a couple weeks, and the people I was reaching out to and the people I was calling when I was upset and crying were people in program that I had only known a couple weeks versus, you know, calling some of my friends who I've known for years because I knew that I could be vulnerable and open with you guys and cry and say the crazy thoughts in my head that I, again, wouldn't get judged for and I could be open with. And this is such an amazing fellowship, and I'm so grateful for all the fellows that I've made through going to meetings, going to conferences, going to the conventions. Yeah, I'm very, very grateful. And with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kaylee. And now we have only 4 more minutes. Marissa, I'm really sorry. We're not going to get to you. And all I'm going to offer Bruce and Debbie 2 minutes each, if you can do that, please. Bruce, would you come on and tell me the initial of your last name?
Yeah, it's Bruce E. And
right.
I'm in.
Could you do 2 minutes?
2 minutes. Sure, fine. Thank you very much. Thanks for the two. Yeah, thank you. Bruce E., recovering in Southwest Florida, and fast friends. Many of us made fast. I say, heard earlier about the fast food. Well, I used to think fast food was my friend, and it turned out it no way. So fast friends. So when I'm at a meeting, face-to-face meeting, or other places, I meet OA guys, and I try to get their phone number. We talk a little bit. I hope they'll come back to the meeting. And we are fast friends. You know, how do you make a fast friend? Well, when you can have a friend and you can share with them about deep, intimate, difficult things, I think that's what makes a fast friend. And it goes on to say here, even the joy of living we really have even under pressure and difficulty. So I thought one time, you know, I get absence, you know, and all that, and the pressure and the difficulty will go away, but it never does. In fact, sometimes it gets worse, but I have a way to handle and deal with that pressure and difficulty. That's what's so wonderful, is because this program has shown me how to deal with that. And feuds and bitterness of all sorts wiped out. Seen men come out of asylums. Well, I would have definitely ended up in asylum if I hadn't gotten these 12 steps. I'd gone nuts about this whole thing. Business professional men have regained their standing. Well, I've learned in this program about honesty when I was in business and in a profession. I learned about honesty and integrity. And I applied that to the business, and it worked. So I got so much. I have gotten so much out of this program. Thank you, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you, Brucey. Right on time. Thank you so much for that. Debbie, you have 2 minutes, please, and tell me the initial of your last name as well.
Hi. This is Betty with a B, and B as in boy, and last initial is C.
Betty. Betty B?
C as in Charlie.
Okay, Betty C. Okay, thank you. Go ahead. 2 minutes if you can do that, please.
Okay, thank you. Yes, this is Betty C, gratefully recovering here. I loved the first time I walked into these rooms. They were recommended to me by my Al-Anon sponsor, and she said, I think you should try these big book meetings. I have found great success there, and there seems to be a good level of recovery. And boy, the first time I came to one of these meetings, they were right. I've been here for 2 years now, and they were right. It was, I felt like I had landed somewhere where there was a message of, what do they call it, weight and depth. And I've enjoyed immensely learning the big book. I have enjoyed immensely the fellowship here. What a breath of fresh air. You know, it's the only place I've been able to come and be real and authentic. And I don't have to pretend to be anything here. You know, that, and as an adult child of alcoholics, I've been a great pretender all my life to cover up it, many things, you know. And so as I got in Al-Anon, that kind of fell away from me, that being a great pretender. But I'll tell you, my depth of recovery here has been its greatest. And I just thank you all for your warmth and love here, and the level that you work your program. It just, I aspire to do the same thing. I stand on the shoulders of giants here, just like they say in many meetings, and I will forever be grateful for finding these rooms. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Betty C. And we've come to the end of this meeting for now. I just want to thank all the people who have helped to do service during this past month of March. Martha S., Chrissy N., Jane K., Elaine B., Leslie W., Pia S., and shortly we'll be hearing from Janice PM. We're going to close with the reading from the big book, as we always do, on page 64, and I'm going to ask Leslie W. to do that for us.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and more to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.